Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. We've made it to Friday, another busy weekend of basketball. Indiana basketball set for senior night coming up on Sunday afternoon. We've got high school basketball regionals on Saturday. Christian Academy in 1A, Jeffersonville in 4A. Our local teams still alive. We'll be down in Huntingburg bringing you the 4A regional, Jeff and Evansville Harrison. By all accounts, all the previews that are out there, everybody that I've talked to that knows Southern Indiana hoops, they think it's a 50-50 game. Should be a great battle with a trip to the semi-state on the line, and look forward to being down at Southridge for that ball game coming up tomorrow afternoon. Pre-game coverage at 3:40. That's Eastern time. We'll be on the air with the play-by-play at 4 o'clock. Obviously, with no show yesterday, we've got tons to talk about. It all started Wednesday evening, I guess, before the Indiana game. Reports that the IU Athletics office letting out that Mike Woodson is going to definitely return for year four and be the IU coach for at least another season. So that answers the question that really had been growing and mounting over the last month or so. Then the Hoosiers go to Minnesota and secure a big-time road win against a Minnesota team that's been better, I think, than anybody expected they would be in the Big Ten. And not only did Indiana win that game, but for a great portion of it, they dominated things and led the way clearly in that contest on the road. So that was big news. And then yesterday evening, we get word that Liam McNeely has requested out of his national letter of intent, a humongous blow to Indiana's roster construction for next year. Obviously, the thought was as soon as Indiana's done in the Big Ten tournament, you got to dig into that portal and figure out some things. But you've got maybe some key guys coming back, and you've got obviously Liam McNeely, or we thought that was the case. But that is a huge change, and it does make you wonder what other defections, what other folks could enter the transfer portal coming up here when the IU season comes to an end. Let's look at the show lineup very quickly, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We got to get to the phone in just a second because Pat Graham, former Hoosier, native of Floyd County, with us here on the program today. And the real reason for Pat today is to talk Jeff Evansville Harrison. Pat is an assistant coach for the Harrison Warriors. He's been around Evansville basketball now for a number of years. We'll preview that regional matchup. We'll get into some other memories and thoughts with Pat when he's with us. Always a great voice, always a great guest here on this program. Later today, Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, is with us. We'll get into IU Michigan State, Coach Woodson back, Liam McNeely, that whole situation that is a mess right now for Indiana, and then Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star on recruiting and more, and regionals around the state in the final segment today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for a great lunch. They have sandwiches, salads, and soups that are all made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Real quick, Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450 is the number. Again, 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line number. Pat Graham, it's an honor to have you back with us here on the program. Big regional basketball weekend tomorrow for high school teams across the state. And you'll be on the bench for that Jeff Evansville-Harrison game as an assistant coach for the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We played earlier this year, and I'm not saying this just because I'm playing against him tomorrow, but Sharon is one of my dearest, oldest, favorite teammates that I ever had. And so win or lose, obviously I want to want to win, and we want to win. But if Sharon's the guy to take us out, I can always root for him no matter what.
Yeah, that's great. We'll get into your all's relationship here in just a bit. But, Pat, this week with the Warriors headed to the regional against our local team, the Red Devils, a lot of people say, hey, I know Pat's in Evansville. I know he's helped with some high school basketball there before. But what's the connection to Evansville-Harrison? So how did you get involved in that Harrison program that generally is a really good 4A basketball program coming out of the Pocket City?
I had when I moved here in town back in, I guess, 96, 97-ish, you know, I obviously Calvert went to Harrison, and just, you know, when we moved here, we didn't know anyone. And so just kind of through work and going to high school games, and you start meeting people and have kids in the baseball park and whatever, start meeting people. And so I had always stayed up on the high school, local high school basketball in Evansville, but when my kids were going to school, I helped over at Evansville Memorial for years, and a wonderful friend of mine, Coach Wilgus, and he allowed me to help him out a little bit, and I did that over there for about 10 or 12 years on and off. I wasn't on the bench all those years, but I worked behind the scenes, summer basketball and workouts and conditioning and whatever. And then after the COVID year, he got out and he retired, and I kind of got away. And so I'd sit around for a couple years bored and needing to, I guess, scratch my itch a little bit. And two of my good friends, Nathan Fleener, or Brian Spear, was the head coach at Harrison for a long time, and then he stepped away. Nathan Fleener took over, and now Spear is an assistant. And they kind of allowed me last year just to watch scout with them. I sat in the up in the stands during practice. I didn't really do much. And then this year they asked me if I wanted to be on staff, and I was like, you know, what the heck? I don't have nothing else to do. And again, it gives me a little chance to give back. I've enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed working with young kids and coaching and giving back a little bit. So it's kind of been a blessing for me, really.
Pat, I tell you what, I think Jeffersonville at 18-7 is a very has been a challenge ball club this season. They have taken on a great schedule, and I know that Sharon Wilkerson set it up to be that way with some of the holiday tournaments and other games he scheduled this year that were new. Evansville Harrison, 20-4 on the season. We had Sharon on Wednesday, the day before his team, or I think the same day his team went to Southridge to practice there at that great Huntingburg Memorial Gymnasium. Tell us a little bit about this game from a Harrison perspective. If Jeffersonville fans are listening today that know about the Devils and know the path to success that they've had so far, what about this Harrison team? A little bit about the season and maybe some of your key players that people should watch out for Saturday.
It's funny, Sharon, when we played earlier this year, and we played in a shootout here in Evansville at Evansville Bossy, and I was a little bit shocked. I'd seen a couple games prepping for them. It's scary to say. They're very, very close mirrored teams, and I'll say it in this way. They have a 1-2 punch of Singleton, the big kid, and Cooper, the athletic scoring guard. We have a kid named Malachi McNair, who's a big kid, very similar to Singleton, and we have a kid named Shane Sims that's very similar in the same way as a athletic scoring guard. So the kind of the 1-2 punches are very similar. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but again, both have, you know, there's a lot of hell of a lot of high school teams that don't have a big guy, and both these teams have a big guy, and they have a couple of them. So that's the 1-2 punch both. Then you go to the rest of the team, and you have, you know, we have a shooter or a couple shooters, and we have some athleticism, and we have a couple guys off the bench. So the rest of the roster is very similar to Jeff, and I hate to say it's a mirror image because there's no way two teams are mirrored exactly, but both teams are very similar and built very similar in the same way.
Pat Graham is joining us here in this first segment today, talking a little bit about Evansville-Harrison, where Pat is an assistant coach, and Jeffersonville, a one-game regional championship on Saturday afternoon. Pat, when we spoke earlier this week, we kind of went down memory lane on gyms, which I enjoy high school basketball gyms in our great state of Hoosier basketball, and the Huntingburg Memorial Gymnasium, where I know you guys had a chance to practice this week, is a sunken gym. It's a really neat place, and I was there a few years ago when Providence was making a run to the 2A state championship, and that was the first game I had been to there. But I want to go back. Your thoughts on Huntingburg Memorial Gym that you're going to play in this week with Harrison, and then you were such a great player, a great shooter coming out of Floyd Central. What were some of your favorite gyms in March, in the tournament, in the regular season, to shoot in, to play in with Joe Hinton and the Highlanders?
The Huntingburg gym, you're exactly right. It's a sunken gym, and I don't know why, but I love those sunken gyms down here in Evansville, the old Evansville North, Boonville. There's some schools down here and over there. I'm thinking Charleston might be that way. But I love a sunken gym feel. I don't know why. We went up yesterday. I know Sharon was the day before, but we went up yesterday in practice. And what that, you know, that county and that town has done with that gym. I mean, the cleanliness, I mean, it's an old gym, right? I mean, those sunken gyms aren't done anymore. And it's an old, very, very, very old gym. But it is so clean, and it is so painted and pristine. I mean, it's beyond nice. And they've just done a hell of a job in keeping that gym up, where, you know, most places just can't do that. I mean, it's very hard to keep an old gym up, and that's the reason the new ones are coming up. So to have an old gym like that is kind of cool from my perspective, from being an old school kind of guy. I jokingly earlier, I was on with someone else, and I had made mention that, you know, there was an opportunity. We were going to go to Seymour, Southridge, Lagodi, or Washington. And I was like, last place I want to go to Seymour, because one and only reason would be because Sharon, that had been like their fourth game there. I was like, they don't need any more help than they already got. But Seymour was one of my all-time favorites, and I had a lot of highs and I had a lot of lows there. But as far as a shooting gym, I don't know why. I always loved that place. Obviously, Floyd Central's gym was the all-time, you know, my all-time favorite, but it was a selfish reason because I just knew that gym so well. But Seymour was kind of the place that, and you knew if you got there, it meant something. So there was a little bit in the back of your mind always with that, but I sure in hell didn't want to play Jeffersonville over there and give them any more advantage than they already got.
Understand. Pat Graham with us here on this first segment of the show today. Pat, I had a text on the Thornton's text line I want to read, and it is an interesting thought. Texter says, I always thought Pat Graham would be a great fit for the Highlanders. And by the way, Pat's parents are the best. So there you go. A shout out to your great family as well. But have you ever considered, now that maybe kids are a little older and you still have that itch to take it a step further? I mean, you're a household name still in basketball throughout our state and obviously in Southern Indiana. Would you ever take that next step and maybe take on your high school program?
Absolutely not. And here's the reason. I think to be a high school coach, a really good high, now, like Sharon has done an absolute outstanding job. I talked to him a few years before he ever got to Jeffersonville and was like, man, Sharon, you got to go back to Jeff. I mean, I've always said Jeff's one of the best jobs in the state of Indiana, and always have said that. But I think it's to be a really, really good high school coach and to do it for a long time the way I would want to do it, I feel like I'd have to be in the building, and I'm not a teacher. To say that that's the only way you do it, no, absolutely not. There's been a hell of a lot of good coaches that didn't teach. But today's world is just different, and I know I'll sound like a grumpy old grandpa here when I say this, but, like, I don't like dealing with the bitching and the moaning from parents, and I don't like hearing the, you know, all the stuff that goes now with being head coach. I mean, I played in a time, you know, whoever sent that in said something about my parents, but I played in a time when Joe Hinton and Coach Miller and Coach Bixler, whoever the case may be at those Jeffersonville, New Albany, and Floyd Central schools, when the coach said something, that was the end result. Like, that was the final decision, and parents accepted that. Today, I don't know if it's the AAU. I don't know if it's social media. Everyone has an opinion. And, you know, 90% of people have not a clue what's going on day-to-day in a basketball program, regardless if it's high school or college. So I have no I feel total sympathy for high school coaches that have to deal with those type of people, the fan base, the parent base. And I just, you know, I know what we dealt with at Memorial for a few years, and it was gross. And so I'm like, trust me, I know more about basketball than most parents, not all, most. And it was just awful. I feel for any coach that has to do it and has to deal with it day to day. And I tell a funny story. You know, Jasper baseball is one of the greatest programs in the state of Indiana. It's won multiple state championships. I've talked to the coach before. You know, and I made a comment one day, and I said, like, you catch hell. And he said, oh, we catch hell every year. And I'm like, wait, you – I mean, I was floored that he said that. I still think back to the Joe Hintons and the Coach Millers and guys like that, you know, you didn't second-guess them. And he said, catch hell all the time. And I'm thinking, this is one of the best baseball coaches in the state of Indiana, Hall of Famer. And if he catches hell, you know, if I'm going to coach a high school team, what the hell am I going to deal with? So I'm just like, nope, I don't need to be a head coach. I'll be a happy assistant coach and let the head coach catch all the hell, but I'm not going to do that part of it.
Pat, what you just went through in the last 2 minutes or so is music to my ears. That is, I could not agree more and could not respect that answer more. Great stuff. Pat, I've always said we could probably fill up an hour with you. You probably should, someone in Evansville should try to pay you to do your own radio show is what needs to happen. But I would be remiss in this conversation if I don't bring up the Indiana program. It's obviously been a tough year for Mike Woodson, former IU great player, and you fall into that very same category as well. Is it tough to be a former player to see a Bob Knight guy like yourself and Coach Woodson get a chance to come back and lead the program and have these struggles and go through such a really bad stretch in January and early February, even though things have been better the last few games?
I'll answer it this way. Number one, I talk to former guys that I played with, but I don't have really any information. You know, Scott Dolson, AD, or Calvert on the bench. Like, I have no more information than you or the next guy on the street, right? But just watching this season, I think anyone would admit it's not went the way we've wanted it to. I think one thing that's lost, and again, everyone's got to run their program the way they do, and I don't know probably but 5% of what goes on in that locker room, but I have a general sense how college basketball works, and I understand the practices and the film sessions and the scouting and the recruiting and all that because I lived it. But every place is different, right? But the one thing that really it hurts my soul for Indiana, and I've said this on a few different podcasts and things that I've done over this whole season, is the one thing that I ask for and the one thing that I won't say I demand because I can't demand anything, but I can turn the TV off. And the one thing that I demand is for guys to play hard and play for each other. And I think that's any high school coach. I think that's any college coach. I think that's what you preach, right? That's why you play basketball or football or baseball, a team sport. If you want to play an individual sport, go golf, go tennis. You do whatever you want in those by yourself. But team sports is all about the team and the university or the school or the name on the jersey. And that's the way I grew up. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I'm just saying the way I think. And for me, when you don't see a team play their ass off and play as hard as they can for their teammates and their team and their school and their coaching staffs or whatever the case may be, it hurts myself. And I don't know if Indiana has played as hard and as unselfish as I would like to see my team that I root for play. Whose fault's that? I can't place blame anywhere. I don't know. I'm not there day in and day out. But I do know what good basketball is. I, you know, it's the old thing. I can't really explain what good basketball is, but I know it when I see it. And that's not the basketball I like watching. And now there's been times, I can't say that, there's been times that they've had it. But a consistent basis, that's what kind of bothers me. And, you know, the other thing is you still got to get back to recruiting the Midwest. I'm not going to just say Indiana, because you have to go to Ohio and you have to go. But recruit the Midwest. And I think that's still some of the best high school basketball. And if you're just going to go after five stars and you're going to go all over the country, and those kids don't, I won't say care about the state of Indiana, but Todd Leary and I have spoke. Todd Leary, Matt Nover, Calvert Chaney, Greg Graham, Pat Graham, we had Indiana ingrained in us at an early age. And some of us had Purdue ingrained in us at an early age. I mean, but this, the Indiana, Purdue, Louisville, Kentucky, where I grew up, where you are right now, I mean, that is basketball heaven. So I understood what basketball at Indiana meant as a young kid. When you go recruit a kid from Texas or California or Washington or New York, they don't have the same feeling about Indiana basketball, the red and white striped pants, the no name on the back of the jersey. They understand that none. And that's not their fault. It's the way they were raised. And kids from this area, the Midwest, they understand what Big Ten basketball is. That's what hurts my soul. And those kids are not at Indiana as much as maybe the school up north. And that bothers me.
Yeah, great stuff. Pat Graham, our guest here in this opening segment today. Pat, could go on and on with you, but do appreciate your time. Another text I want to get to, you might have to explain this one, or you might laugh when you hear this one. Good luck this weekend from your tortoise friend, Josh Bivin. Also miss our old feeder ball rivalries. So there you go, Coach Graham. Wanted to pass that along.
Oh, Bivin, yeah. I've got two pet tortoises, and he's got one. We've always had fun with it, but... yeah, we had some battles back in the day. Didn't like each other very much early on, but kind of probably both of us were dumbass immature kids, coaching kids. So we got over that a little bit.
Pat, best of luck this weekend. It's an honor in my day job as park superintendent in Floyd County to have Pat Graham Court. It's a nice, nice basketball court at Gary Cavan. And I know COVID messed up a grand opening where we had a little festivity planned with a exhibition game and wanted to bring you and your family in, Coach Hinton and some others as well. I'd love to rekindle that at some point. But everybody up here is proud of you, appreciate you. Thanks for still being involved in high school basketball. And I hope that it's okay to bug you again soon and have you back here sometime later this month.
Call me anytime. I love doing this stuff. Love it.
Absolutely. Pat Graham with us. One of the great guests we've had. I mean, just outstanding. His experience, his memories, what he's still doing today. And we wish Pat the best of luck. Will be really cool to see him and Sharon, who I know from talking with Coach Wilkerson over the years, just a lot of respect for Pat Graham and a lot of respect among some of those IU guys to this day. So really, really neat to say. But a couple other texts. A texter says, love his passion. Another texter says, sounds like Coach Knight at times. Bring him back again soon as a guest. Definitely will. So thanks to Pat Graham, and good luck to him and Evansville Harrison. And good luck to Coach Wilkerson and the Red Devils, obviously, tomorrow. We'll be there for the play-by-play call. 3:40 pregame, 4 o'clock tip-off right here on the Big X. Stay with us. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. We'll talk Liam McNeely's decommitment. We'll talk Indiana's win over Minnesota. Mike Woodson back for another year. There's a ton to get to today here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday edition of the show. Don't forget Evansville, Harrison, and Jeffersonville. 3:40 p.m. Saturday is when our pregame coverage begins right here on the Big X. 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM. We'll be streaming online as well at BigXSportsRadio.com. Just click the Listen Live button. Thornton's text line texter says, Matt, that interview with Pat Graham is the best I've heard on your program. More, please. Make him a regular. That segment needs to be released on its own and plastered all over social media. Preach, Pat. Thank you for the kind words. And Pat is outstanding. We've had him, I don't know, five, six times over the last 3-4 years maybe. Probably need to do it much more often. But he is outstanding as a guest and just has a great way of delivering what he wants to say. And just a fun guy to talk to both on and off of the air, to be quite honest. But wish Pat the best, and great to see him helping Harrison. That's been a good program with some good coaches, Coach Spear, Coach Fleener there now, both of those guys that I've known well, and they do an outstanding job. Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, is with us now. Dylan remains a great friend of the program and has been with us all season long talking IU football and basketball. And Dylan, a lot to get to today. I think we should probably take it in somewhat of a reverse order. Let's start with the most recent news, which came yesterday evening around 7 p.m., that Liam McNeely had requested to be released from his national letter of intent from Indiana. He's going to reopen his recruitment. And since that time, there have been some predictions or thoughts from some of the recruiting guys out there that he likely is going to go to Kansas. So this is a major blow for Indiana. I don't know any other way to phrase it than it is a major, major issue, as Indiana probably next week sometime enters postseason mode and starts to work on recruiting and obviously the transfer portal situation. Your thoughts on McNeely's release? Were you surprised? And where does this leave Mike Woodson and staff moving forward?
Yeah, it was tough news last night. I was a little surprised. It seemed like Liam McNeely was, you know, for the most part, pretty excited about committing to Indiana, and you know, and I think Indiana fans are really excited to bring him into the program. A player like him, a wing that can really, really shoot the ball, you know, something the program desperately needs. And I think everyone, as much questions as there were around the program in the future, everyone was really excited about Liam McNeely. And now that he's gone, you have zero recruits for 2024. You're going to have to overhaul your roster in a big way. You already were going to have to do it in the transfer portal, but now even more so. It's just really tough to kind of deal with right now. And this is on the heels of Indiana winning three games in a row, two of which were on the road. So, you know, the program and the players, the guys were starting to win some games and just maybe feel a little bit better about themselves. And, you know, then when the timing of Mike Woodson staying right before the Minnesota game, and the day later Liam McNeely announced he's decommitting. It's just a really tough sequence of events for a lot of fans who were not feeling great about the program. You know, this is recruiting was the number one thing I think everyone talked about when Mike Woodson got the job. And, you know, I think for the most part, bringing in a Jalen Huchefino, Malik Renew, Akenzie Mbako, Cleo, they've gotten some top end talent, but you know, you can't just rebuild the transfer portal every single year. You have to have a foundation in recruiting high school players. And to have zero for next year, in a year where you're going to miss the NCAA tournament and lose a lot of your players on the current roster, not great. So, yeah, it seems like McNeely, the popular pick is him going to Kansas. You know, Indiana and Kansas have kind of been dueling a lot lately for a lot of these picks. You know, Mbako's final two were those two schools, but he came here. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. He's probably going to be a pretty good player, and it's going to suck that Indiana's not going to have him, because I think everyone was really excited. So, yeah, just tough news for the program yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I saw a tweet just before we came on the air today, and it was from our friends at Assembly Call, and it said, it should be noted that recruiting and the portal are not interchangeable terms. Smart programs use the portal for surgical additions to already well-built rosters. Programs without a plan think throwing money at the portal will save them. It won't. And by money, I'm assuming like NIL money. But that is factual to me. You need to use the portal within reason. You've got a strong roster. You've laid it out over the course of some years to fill the needs and the positions that you want with your style and your program. And then when people defect or players don't develop or turn out or have a conflict with a coach and leave, you go to the portal to make small additions to your program, small as in numbers, but could be big as in the talent you could bring in from the portal. So that's a great way to think of it, and that's how I see the transfer portal, but that's not exactly how the portal has been used by Indiana's coaches for whatever reason. Maybe it's for reasons they can't control, but this transfer portal class, if there is such a thing, is going to have to be a really, really good one, a really, really steady one, because Mike Woodson, if he doesn't land a major class from the portal, I don't see how he gets beyond next year.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, you sort of saw an example of this sort of when Woodson first got to Indiana. I mean, obviously he had to retain Trey Jackson Davis and Race Thompson and Trey Galloway and the guys who were already there. But what they did was they added Miller Kopp, they added David Johnson from the portal. They just kind of plugged them in, and that team got to the NCAA tournament. You know, the next year, those players all stayed. You brought in a good recruit from Jalen Huchefino and Malik Renew, you know, and you were able to build on that. And now, you know, and then you look at like an Arkansas, who remember like a few years ago, Eric Musselman just had all transfers, and they were really good. But look at Arkansas now. They had no foundation, no infrastructure built from just bringing those players in and playing them for a year, and then they all leave again. And now they're really struggling. They're not going to make the tournament this year. They've had a rough season, you know, and it's been tough. And even like in Illinois, who you know, Assembly called mentioned in that tweet, you know, Coleman Hawkins, Luke Goody, Terrence Shannon, you know, those guys were already on the roster. And then they added like a Marcus Domask, and now look at them go. You know, it's just, there's different ways to use it, and the way Indiana is going to have to use the transfer portal this summer is not ideal. It's not great to have to completely build in and recruit basically, you know, five, six, however many players that you're counting on to be the main parts of your team, you know, and you know, who knows who you're going to lose. I think everyone assumes Malik Renew is going to be back, but, you know, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. I'm sure a lot of teams would love to have Malik Renew, and you know, he's going to miss the tournament this year. Who knows what they're going to throw at him to try to bring him away from Indiana, you know. So to have so many players that Indiana's going to bring in from the transfer portal to maybe only be there like a year, that's the other thing, is a lot of these guys, you're looking for older, experienced people, especially with how Mike Woodson loves to use young teams as sort of an excuse of why they're not doing well. You know, to bring in older guys who are just going to be there for a year, and maybe you have a great offseason and you bring in a lot of guys and you make a tournament run, but what happens in 2025? You know, you're going to lose all of them again and have to do it again. It's just not sustainable, you know. That's why recruiting is so important. That's why that tweet you read off is so key. They're really different, and they can be used for different things. And right now, Indiana's going to use it in not the ideal way this summer. And, you know, the 2025 recruiting class is going to be huge for this program. They got to build a foundation somewhere, and they don't have it right now, and it's a tough spot to be in.
Dylan Wallace, our guest. Dylan, I've got two other subjects for you, and about 30 seconds for each answer as we're up against a break here in just a few minutes. But the first subject, working backwards from the McNeely news, was Indiana's win at Minnesota. The Hoosiers were good. They beat a good Minnesota team at their home court, and they did so in very convincing fashion.
Yeah, it was great to see them play really well. Defensively, they were really good. I think Minnesota struggled a lot, but Indiana played really well. They had a good start. They petered off. They got it back, and they just kind of sustained it. So three wins in a row, you know, feeling good. Maybe you'll go home and win at Michigan State for senior night, and you'll have a four-game winning streak going to the Big Ten. They could somehow get the 5 seed, which is bizarre, in the Big Ten tournament. So, yeah, it was an impressive win. Good to see, and hopefully they just keep playing well. There's a lot of negative news, but, you know, go out, have a good senior day, and see what you can do in the Big Ten tournament.
All right, Dylan, final subject, Mike Woodson. It was leaked out or mentioned from an IU official before the Minnesota game to the media. He is coming back for another year. I think a lot of people thought he would, but given the last month or so, there's been a lot of wondering and questions. Of course, after that, Indiana wins, and then after the big win, McNeely leaves. But your thoughts on Mike Woodson back for another season?
I think it's not surprising. I think the timing of it was a little surprising, but also when you think about it, you know, the transfer portal window and all that stuff kind of opens up soon, so maybe they wanted to kind of lock him in and make recruits know, hey, he's going to be the coach. You know, the coach you're getting recruited by is going to be the coach next year. So I think it makes sense. But like you said a few minutes ago, you know, if next year goes badly, that's going to be his last year at Indiana, and the Liam McNeely recruitment doesn't help. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge year and a huge summer for Mike Woodson if he wants to stay the coach in Indiana.
Dylan Wallace, he's with us Fridays on the show. Dylan, I always look forward to this segment. Appreciate you still coming on with us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Our friend Butch, longtime listener of the Big X, and I mean longtime, way before Matt Dennison. He was a listener and a supporter long before I was around. He sends a text in, on the beach today, still listening to the Big X, loud and clear. Well, thank you, Butch, for being with us as you enjoy some time away from Southern Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk about regional basketball on Saturday, and we'll be down at Southridge for Jeffersonville, Evansville, Harrison on the air tomorrow at 3:40, tip-off at 4 p.m. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with you here on this Friday show. Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Wanted to read this quote. Mike Woodson had a media availability earlier this morning, and he was asked about having no recruits in the 2024 class. He basically had no comment. He said, quote, "I'm not going to talk with you guys, talk about recruiting with you guys. I'm just not. It's something we got to do, and this is going to be a big summer for us. We got to go out and field players. You can lose players. You just never know. That's what the portal presents. That's just how I feel about it at this point." So the pressure is on. He was asked after the game Wednesday about returning for another year. He said he wasn't going to talk about that, and now he is not going to talk about recruiting. Very tough questions for Mike Woodson here recently. There is no question about that. Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, with us. I want to get the regional basketball here in just a moment. But before that, Kyle, how does all the latest IU stuff, Mike Woodson back for another year, obviously indicating things aren't going great, he's going to get one more shot at it, it seems, and then losing Liam McNeely, this big-time guy from out of state that was a great shooter, has had a great high school basketball season this senior year on a national stage, how does losing him and some of the current predicaments of IU basketball affect the recruiting of some of the key guys in the state that are hearing about this stuff, seeing this stuff on the radio, in the newspaper, on social media all the time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not. It's not great. You know, he was the only recruit they had in that class, and I'm sure you've covered all that. But I mean, also he was just a really good player, a prospect who, you know, you would hope would be able to bring in other guys with him. So, you know, you lose a five-star guy. It's the perception of that. Oftentimes, you when you talk about recruiting, perception is as big as the reality, I think. And you know, and momentum is such a big thing too. You know, it's just not great. And I think it's probably worse than it. You know, it appears to be worse than it probably is in reality in some ways, because you know how the portal works. I mean, all of a sudden you could pick up a, you know, a five-star, you know, guy in the portal, and IU's able to, you know, they have the, you know, the kind of money, I think, that you're going to be able to get, you know, some of those top guys. So, you know, right now, yeah, obviously it doesn't look good. I mean, you know, and Mike Woodson, obviously he's been having his struggles from an on-court perspective as well, but you know, things can change quickly also. So I would say, you know, keep an open mind on that as well. But yeah, you don't, you know, McNeely was clearly, and I was looking forward to seeing him play in this, you know, Chipotle Nationals are going to be having here next month. And, you know, a lot of, you know, just the excitement about him coming to IU. And now that's by the board. So yeah, it's not great, but, you know, I will say, you know, stay tuned, because obviously things can change on that front as well.
No question. Talking with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Let's get into regional basketball. I want to get your thoughts on matchups across the state. But first, the one that we'll be at tomorrow will be Jeff and Evansville Harrison. Should be a very equal matchup. We had Sharon Wilkerson on earlier in the week. We had Pat Graham on today, who's an assistant at Harrison, to talk about the matchup and more. Do you think that's going to be a nip-and-tuck game? I feel that that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, I do too. I'm picking Jeffersonville to win that game, but I think that'll be one of the better games of the day. I had a chance to see actually both those teams earlier this season, probably back in the same week, actually, in December. And that, the Evansville-Harrison team with Malachi McNair, who's their big senior, really liked his game a lot. He's averaging a double-double, almost 18 points and 11 rebounds in that area. So, then they've got some guys around him. A kid named Sims, who's a guard, and another guard, Summit, who's another good player for him. So, they have guys who can get him the ball, McNair, and then he's a really hard worker, rebounder type. So, yeah, I think that'll be a great game. Obviously, Jeffersonville, we've talked about them before, and they're kind of three-headed monster. They're probably a year ahead of schedule, even, I'd say, based on, having all those juniors back next year. So, the future bright here in the next couple of years for Jeffersonville, but you also, you never know when you get in these situations. So you want to take advantage of it and go as far as you can right now. I think, and looking at this the whole year, I think Jeffersonville, it's been a path that you think they can get through and make a run. This is a good year to do that from the southern part of the state. So I think that'll be a really good game there in Southridge. I did pick Jeffersonville, like I said, but that, I think, will be one of the better games of the day.
Talking with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. The other local from Clark and Floyd counties we'll be tracking on Saturday is Christian Academy. They'll take on number one Bar Reeve down at Lagodi. Should be a great crowd, great environment for that game. Bar Reeve coming off a 5-overtime win in the sectional championship round. And, of course, Christian Academy, they've got some outstanding players led by Joshua Renfro. David Cook has had a great season as well. And there are others that have stepped up in big moments for Christian Academy. Any input on that game? Not sure how much you've seen those teams, but your thoughts on an always good Bar Reeve program and a Christian Academy program that has had some success here in the postseason recently as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that'll be a fantastic 1A game as well. And we saw, Christian Academy is kind of built this program, and you mentioned Renfro. He had an outstanding sectional, and they had to get through a pretty tough sectional to beat an improved South Central team in the championship game there in a close game. Had to go to overtime with Rock Creek. And I know Renfro, really good three-point shooter and a tough matchup. Bar Reeve, obviously, they're always in this tournament, it seems like, and felt bad for Tom Bradley there at Orleans, said, got so close to getting that team to a sectional title and losing 5 overtimes, but, that team, that program, Bar Reeve under Josh Thompson, has just kind of kept on rolling, and, they're always, a factor, it seems like, and no matter who the players are, and it's a lot of the same names over the years, just brothers and cousins, and, the same success, it seems like, year in and year out. So, they beat Lagodi, beat Orleans, and I think Bar Reeve, obviously down in that area of the state, will be tough to beat. I'm sure they'll bring a ton of people there when they play Christian Academy. And I think that'll be the winner of that game. I think, again, has a chance. And, Evansville Christian, another team down that direction and very good in 1A as well. But that again, I think that'll be one of the better games of the day also.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star. Anything else across the state? Where will you be? What's the blockbuster game of the weekend? Anything else we should know?
Yeah, I'll be heading over to Newcastle for Fishers and Kokomo. So that is actually a rematch of a game earlier this year that, Fishers won pretty handily. I don't think that'll be the case again. Flory Badunga had only 3 shots in that game, 4 points. I seriously doubt that would happen again, but it would bode well for Fishers if it does. But, Kokomo is just a better team now than they were back in December. Carson Rogers has really come on and played a big role for them and, kind of given them a Twin Tower look, really. So, Fishers is definitely, the real deal. They came through such a tough sectional there at Noblesville, and, knocked out number two Noblesville in that great game in the sectional championship. So, that's where I'll be, but also, kind of keeping an eye on other things. Liberty Christian and Seton Catholic play in the first game there at Newcastle, so, getting over there to see that one as well. But those games are 1 and 4, and then, obviously some games at 7 o'clock as well. I don't know if I'll get to any of those just based on where I'm at out there at Newcastle, but Avon and Lawrence North play at Greenfield at 7, and, there's a few other games, obviously, in that 7 o'clock time frame that we'll be tracking as well. So it'll be a fun day. I don't know if you like this new regional setup or not, but it's a little bit different, and it'll lead up into next week's semi-state, which is kind of like the old regional was. So taking my mind some getting used to think of it that way, but I'm trying to keep an open mind and see what it looks like.
Yep, same here. Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, he's with us Fridays on the show. Kyle, thank you. Enjoy some regional hoops, and we'll catch up again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
All right, we'll wrap things up for this Friday program. Again, we'll be on the air 3:40 p.m. tomorrow down in Huntingburg at Southridge. And the first game there should be pretty good. Southridge plays against Evansville-Ballsy, so I think that'll be an outstanding crowd. I was told that if you buy a ticket to the first game, they're going to let you stay for the second game, but I'm assuming most of those people, maybe some of the Evansville-Ballsy people, will stay to watch Harrison, but I don't think that there'll be a sellout crowd for the Jeff and Harrison game, but hopefully for a good crowd. But definitely will be a good gym and a good place to play a regional championship game. Hope you can join us tomorrow for the broadcast. We'll be back with you Monday here on the show. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.